Hello everyone and welcome to the latest News Roundup podcast from the Institute of Leadership and Management. It's the 31st of March 2020 and we will be reviewing stories that have made the news outlets from the last few days that have a leadership or management theme. My name's Nick Scott, I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute, and joining me to analyse these topical issues is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
First up is a story from the Kellogg Insight series, which asks, what can your business do to help the community during the coronavirus crisis? While business leaders are struggling to keep their organizations afloat and employees safe during the pandemic, some are also searching for ways to help within their communities and beyond. One example is Zoom, the video conferencing company, whose CEO has offered free accounts to any school that has had to close due to COVID-19. Megan Kashner, Director of Social Impact at the Kellogg School, says, the company has to be under incredible strain right now, and it could be making money hand over fist from schools. Yet the CEO has made a huge choice for the public good. Kate, what does this story tell us about the role of good business leaders when times are difficult for their organisation?
I was just talking to somebody about this very subject, somebody who'd been laid off by their company and not even the terms of their contracts honoured. And how would you ever trust a company like that again? The reputational damage that some companies are doing to themselves through laying off people, trying to take advantage of shortages, etc., are going to last a lot longer, hopefully, than this crisis will. And companies like Zoom, the reputational good that they're doing, they are building trust. They are building a reputation as good guys. And when we're looking for talent, when we want people to come and work for us, this sort of thing is so important. As Glassdoor shared with us as a partner in one of our research reports, younger people particularly want to know about the values of an organisation, and Zoom are telling us so much about their values.
So it's not just cynical marketing?
No, it's not cynical marketing. It's about the integrity of the CEOs, about what they think is really important. And actually, the pursuit of profit is insufficient, as the New Zealand Prime Minister told us only last year. It's not the only measure of the health of a nation.
Our second story is from the Guardian newspaper, and it reflects the impact the virus is having on staff mental health. A poll conducted in mid-March by the Mental Health Foundation found that 30% of people felt afraid due to the oncoming pandemic, while a fifth had experienced outright panic. With over 60% suffering some form of anxiety, the Foundation's Director of Research, Antonis Koussoulis, said that despite the poll being conducted before full lockdown, at least in the UK, there were clear indications that the pandemic was having a negative effect on the nation's mental well-being. He also argued that the mental health impact of this pandemic is going to last longer than the physical health impact. So in addition to the fear of contagion for both self and family, the social isolation impacts are likely to worsen over time. So Kate, whether staff are working from home or at premises, what can employers do to look after their workers' mental well-being at this challenging time?
Well, we know from our research that home working presents problems of potential isolation even when times are normal. We have the additional challenges for those working at home that they're not used to it, perhaps they don't have the right kit, they're sharing their workspace with other people working from home and children and elderly relatives possibly. So all managers can do in that situation is check in, be available, always have time to talk, and ask people how they can help them. We've seen accounts from Italy and China how when lockdown starts, everyone is full of enthusiasm in some ways for all the things that they're going to do, and how quickly that diminishes and people become depressed and lethargic. And that's the thing I think we can do something about, is what can we do to keep people busy, engaged? And the best thing one can really engage with if you're worried about your future job is to build your CV, to engage with online courses that they there are so many out there and so many learning opportunities that one can take advantage of when one's suddenly got extra time.
In a 23rd of March Forbes column, US leadership coach Heidi Lynn Kurter notes the greatest challenge management is facing at the moment is to find a balance between empathy and authority. She points out, employees are a company's most valuable asset, and if firms want to survive and succeed this crisis, they need to invest in developing their managers. When managers are well-equipped and confident to lead the team, their employees are happier, more productive, and high-achieving performers. Kurter recommends virtual coaching, which can be done without spending money but by leveraging existing resources. She writes, coaches are trusted confidants that have the best interests of the individual and company at all times. By asking powerful and thought-provoking questions, coaches help managers identify innovative solutions, draw on strengths and improve weaknesses, establish new habits and be empowered to implement new strategies. So Kate, is Kurter on the right lines here? How best can coaching be conducted between individuals who are unable to meet in person?
Online coaching is not new. People have been doing coaching this way for a number of years. Coaching approaches, things that Heidi has identified, open-ended questions, being on the side of the person that you're coaching, genuinely listening to what they're telling you and responding to the situation they find themselves in as how they describe it is brilliant advice. We can't turn managers into coaches overnight, but there is so much information to help you use coaching approaches. The Institute has a set of resources all to do with being a great coaching manager. Please use them and remember that actually, it's not really just a trade-off between authority and empathy, because individuals need different levels of direction. Some people will feel micromanaged, whereas other people will feel this is great. They're interested in me and checking in every day. The only way you can really improve how you manage people is ask them what they need.
Our final item is a story from the Independent newspaper that notes the government has suspended the company's obligation to report their gender pay gaps, citing the coronavirus pandemic. The deadline for public sector bodies reporting gender pay gaps was yesterday, Monday the 30th of March, with private companies due by the 4th of April. In a joint statement, Liz Truss, Minister for Women and Equalities, and David Isaac, Chair of the Human Rights Commission, say, "We recognise that employers across the country are facing unprecedented uncertainty and pressure at this time. Because of this, we feel it only right to suspend enforcement of gender pay gap reporting for this year." Charles Cotton, a senior advisor at the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, said, "The CIPD is pleased that the government recognises the incredible pressure that the HR profession is under at the moment. But when normality starts to return, we encourage employers to turn their attention back to this important agenda." So, Kate, is it reasonable, do you think, to put this on hold for now? Or is this a step too far?
It's a recognition that people have got bigger worries in a way than keeping to government-imposed deadlines. I think it's interesting that we're talking even about back to normal, because I think there will be a new normal. And then what's particularly interesting is, certainly from a leadership perspective, being part of a support group that's emerged in my own road, how people are exercising and demonstrating tremendous leadership capability. And if I actually look at my own support group, it's being run by women, and I think that women are going to find, when they go back into the job market after this, that they have acquired brilliant skills of organisation, inspiration, all the things we expect from great leaders, and they're going to be able to evidence them. A delay in the reporting doesn't mean that this is going anywhere off the agenda, and I think the world of work is going to change fundamentally as a result of this period of home and different working.
Well, finally, Kate, perhaps you could enlighten us on what the Institute's been doing in the last couple of weeks when its staff have been working from home.
We're quite good at working from home because quite a lot of us do already. So that was an easy thing for us in terms of having the right technology. Where we've tried to do our bit is by running daily webinars. based around the Institute content. We've had a weekly theme. We're making this free to everybody, not only in terms of attending the webinars, which we've always given free access to, but also for every week, the resources that go with the webinar are also freely available. What's been really popular and we've been most appreciative of is the guests. Everyone we've asked to be a guest, almost without exception, has said yes. They've gone online, they've answered questions. We're getting literally hundreds of registrations. Please do join in, something different every day based around working at home, but of course, whatever other issues of the day that emerge through the questions.
Well, thanks very much for that, Kate. We're out of time for today, but we'll be back with more breaking news stories next week. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section of the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thanks again, Kate, for your insight on these stories.
Thank you, Nick.